I'm concerned about timing. We have... Will you please concentrate on what we're doing? We will have a presentation now by Professor Stankiewicz from... he is the a director of the Solaris Laboratory. Marek, I will ask you to keep your presentation to 30 minutes, okay? So please, Marek, please give it within 30 minutes instead of 40, okay? Because we are running behind in time.
All right.
We'll then have a presentation by Professor Shvetsov on the complementarity between neutron synchrotron sources, and then I suggest that we have questions to after both presentations rather than having them after the presentation of Professor Stankiewicz. So I'm suggesting that we have the two presentations, we'll then have an opinion on the presentations from Professor Nagy, who will appear on the internet, and then we'll have questions from the floor, okay? Thank you. Marek, the floor is yours, and please give us your talk.
Thank you very much for this introduction. I'm Marek Stankiewicz from Kraków, Poland, representing Synchrotron Solaris, and have a great pleasure to present the project, Solcris project, which has been mentioned quite a few times in the morning. Forgive me a little bit of introduction about synchrotrons, because I constructed my talk into two parts. One part is about synchrotrons, especially about Solaris synchrotron, and the second part is about our project. So here is the map of synchrotrons all over the world, and one can see that there is quite a few synchrotrons. They are grouped in very well-developed countries or regions. And this is a map of synchrotrons in Europe. And I am very happy that we have this star in Poland, in southern Poland, in Kraków. And they are more or less spread evenly. However, in Germany, there are many synchrotrons. There are two in France, one significant in United Kingdom. Synchrotrons nowadays are constructed to generate electromagnetic radiation, synchrotron radiation. And why I am talking about this, to stress that each synchrotron is different, constructed according to the unique projects. They operate 20, they are, let's say, research infrastructures which serve, their mission is to serve many groups at the same time, 24 hours per 7 days, and they are multi-user, multidisciplinary facilities. And as I said, mission is to provide exceptional opportunities in many areas of research for many groups at the same time. So I reckon it is very efficient investment in research infrastructure. Synchrotrons have opened new research frontiers in many areas, as they provide very, very unique radiation and interaction of matter with electromagnetic radiation, extremely important for us to know how the matter interacts. Now, what is about the synchrotrons? The light, it is extremely intense. We can monochromatize it, we can polarize it, we can apply a certain time structure. So whatever our imagination tells us about the experiments about interaction with of electromagnetic radiation with matter, we can probably do it at synchrotrons. Obviously, the broad spectrum may come back. It spreads from terahertz, infrared, up to hard X-rays. Now, this was motivation behind the project of building of construction of synchrotron in Poland. Let's say Polish scientists discovered the options provided by synchrotrons very early. From the beginning they started to operate, so there was a big lobby to build a synchrotron in Poland. We have Polish synchrotron radiation users community. We have about few hundred scientists who use synchrotrons all over the world, and there had been a long-lasting initiative to build a synchrotron in Poland. And in 2009 we succeeded. We were allocated certain amount of money, and we organized a big brainstorm what we can do with this money, which was not a big package, 40 million euros, and there was a question, can we build anything useful or not? But it happened that we were able due to Maxwell project correlation. Maxwell project took off at that same time, and they started construction of a new facility in Lund replacing Max 2, and the project was in Sweden was about building two synchrotrons, while one of 1.5 giga electron volt energy, second one with 3 giga electron volt energy. The Max 2 replacement was the smaller ring. And at that time, our good colleagues from Sweden, they agreed to give us the design for our synchrotron Solaris. So we started with a ready design. What is more important, this design was a new revolution. It was applying new revolutionary technique to build synchrotron bending cells. I will talk about in a moment, but just to clear it, that it is a national project. We are part of Jagiellonian University, but it is Solaris is open to all users from Poland for free. So this is timetable, how we did it. We started in 2010. We finished in 2015 with first beam circling the ring. Budget increased to 50 million euros. All was funded from European Union Regional Development Fund. And we delivered building, machine, two experimental beam lines, which was fairly easy because this is infrastructure, but most important thing was, and most difficult was, that we had to build a team of people who would construct it and operate it, and we succeeded. So we are a replica of Max 4 1.5 giga electron over the ring, but obviously we have different building, different infrastructure, and we have ramping because we were not able to afford full energy injection. Project by Polish standard was unique because this is first such facility in Poland, multi-user, multidisciplinary, operating, giving access 24 hours per day, and there are no commercial available synchrotrons, so it was, let's say, we had to integrate all the bits and pieces of that. Now, what is the design? Here is our synchrotron. It is 12-fold symmetry, 1.5 giga electron volt, 96 meter circumference. The maximum current which we operate now is 0.5 amp, and we have 12 bends, and straight section length is 3.5 meters. What is special about it? Because from the first sight, it might be a conventional design. This is this bending sections. This is double bent achromat, but what is special, it is that this achromat is made in all the magnets of the achromat are machined in one piece of iron, 5 meters long. So here is the cross section of that. You can see the vacuum chamber, and all the magnets are here. So it creates a very compact achromat, allowing for perfect emittance value, which is a very exceptional actually for that size of synchrotron. So we are very happy to have that, and this is the real view of the magnet without the vacuum chamber inside. So here is the scheme of our old machine, 600 MeV LINAC, conventional S-band, transfer line, and our ring. So this is more or less the parameters of the ring, which is not very important at that moment. Time schedule, how we started. So here are some pictures. So this was a greenfield project. Maybe I come back. We started from such a nice plot. Some environmentalists, they complained, but we didn't have problems, too many problems with that. So we moved into the building in 2014. We integrated everything, and here is the fisheye view of our ring without the roof. Here is a better picture. So it is very neat and not complicated from the view, but inside there are many complications, as you might see. Here is a table which compares similar size synchrotrons all over the world, and I think we can be proud that we provide for such a size and such energy synchrotron. I must say we are the best, so we are happy about that. So I have that slide for many months, but actually in the context of our project it is a very nice slide, I think, because this is an article in Nature Index about raising stars in the context of investing money in research infrastructure. And Poland and Russia are together, let's say, mentioned here, and this is factor of important publications, how it grew over a few last years. So here is how the stars, rising stars, were selected. Also we are mentioned that I think our authorities allowed for us to build this synchrotron for, so it is a good usage of European money. As I said, there are some highlights about having this infrastructure in Poland. I think it is valid for all such national big infrastructures in any country. So it is not also for the researchers, but also for the environment, for the industry, high-tech industry, and so on, so on. So it provides some jump, technological jump to the environment. I have to mention this, that I have to acknowledge this always, sorry, but we managed to do to make the project in 5 years, only due exceptional international collaboration with many synchrotrons and many people from the synchrotrons area, all over the Europe and all over the world, also from Diamond. Andrew is here, so thank you. Obviously, I have to stress the collaboration with the Max Lab, because without that collaboration, the project wouldn't realize never. We have it. We have it with two lines. We operate it. We are opening to the users in the second half of that year. It took us two years to commission everything. It was easy to turn it on, but to have a stable beam, stable operation, it is not so easy. But we are sure that we can open to the users in autumn. And in April, there will be open call on our digital users office, so we open officially the call for the two beamlines. But obviously this synchrotron, it cannot finish with two beamlines, because it would be a laugh. So this is the future, is more beamlines, obviously new beamlines, Also, we want to extend the Liniac to full energy to have top-up operations, so very stable beam 24 hours. But this is, let's say, not priority. The priority is more beam lights. Okay, so how it, our facility looks like. We have two beam lines, experimental beam lines. Code names UARPES and PIMXAS. I will quickly go through those beam lines. But we have now, okay, you will see we have output from each bending magnet, from each bending section, because we have output only from one bending magnet from this double bent acromat, but we also can install insertion devices in the straight sections. So the situation at the moment is two beam lines. Two beam lines are under construction. Two more beam lines we applied, these yellow ones we applied for money, and hopefully we will succeed. And the blue ones are rooms for the next beam lines. And if we want to do these beam lines here, we need to extend a little bit the experimental hall. So here are our plans for the future development plans. These are installed beam lines. So here are the names, what the techniques they can provide. Here are the beam lines under construction. One of them is machine diagnostics beam line, which is necessary. We don't have it at the moment. These two applications are, these beam lines we applied for the money, and the blue code here means that this is international collaboration. So we applied for CERIC. This is the consortium, Central European Research Infrastructure Consortium. We are in, I have no time to talk about it, but it is very exciting consortium. We share Central European countries, not all, but there is a selection of them, eight. We share infrastructures in these countries, and they are open to users from the consortium. So, and then this consortium has from time to time money to apply for the new beamlines or experimental stations. So we applied to CERIC for infrared, Fourier transform infrared beamline, and also for the scanning transmission X-ray microscopy and station. Now, more plant beamlines. And here are another three beamlines or branches to the beamlines, which we are in talks with our partners abroad. This here we plan to have a beamline together with the Czech Republic, Charles University in Prague. This beamline, there is an initiative from Germany. Actually, they will have funds for this beamline, which is very nice, very well optimized for our synchrotron. And here is a beamline called MX Biosachs PD, code name, which will provide such experimental techniques. And this is the subject of our project. This beamline is very much wanted or expected by Polish scientific community. There is a big pressure, and so it is a very good scenario, which appeared some time ago, that there is a chance to build that beamline together with Dubna. So the people behind people behind that beamline, there is a strong initiative, as I said. Here are the people mentioned, not all of them, just few, and the departments or institutions they represent. The leading person is Professor Kozak, who was a month ago here giving a talk. energy range this beamline will operate. Obviously, this is the at the moment it is a vision of that beamline. All the details are subject to discussions. We have to obtain this energy photon energy range. We need to install wiggler, superconducting wiggler, or vacuum undulator. This is to be decided, and the research stations are allowing for such techniques. We need to have 3 to 4 years to construct that beamlines. One of the things we have to install is superconducting wiggler, which where Butker Institute specializes actually in production of such wigglers. At the moment, from the bending magnet, this is black spectrum. And with wigglers of different magnetic field, we can obtain such a boost in high energy spectrum. Now, what is the foreseen or the concept of the configuration at the moment is, as it was mentioned on the previous table, it will allow single crystal diffraction. Macromolecule allowing for macromolecular crystallography, in particular protein crystallography, small angle scattering, X-ray scattering, powder diffraction, X-ray absorption spectroscopy. So this beamline should provide a plethora of different experimental techniques. And here I have some parameters. There are many parameters here, but okay, wavelength, as we said, this is a small angle X-ray scattering sector. It should operate in this energy region, 16 to 6 kiloelectronvolts or 6 to 16 with such a resolution. We have some design already or preliminary design provided by FMB Oxford company, so it is not out of the blue, these parameters, they are achievable. So we have some conceptual design of the whole installation of the beamline, which I am not allowed to show at that moment. And main components, toroidal miller, water-cooled double crystal monochromator, and end station. So here is the expected beam size at the sample. Now, the macromolecular crystallography sector, for multi-wavelength anomalous diffraction, we'll have a slightly higher energy with the resolution 10 to the minus 4, and main components, vertically collimating mirror, cryogenically cooled double crystal monochromator, toroidal focusing mirror and end station, and this toroidal refocusing mirror will allow for better focusing of the beam, to have a smaller spot. And here is the detect end stations, because this what I showed till now was the infrastructure of the beamline. Now the end stations, so the measuring systems. So we plan to have the best available at the moment detectors. Obviously, the development is going fast in this region, and we also want to be able to do high pressure measurements of the samples under high pressure. So this was macromolecular crystallography, and this is SUCCESS end station detectors, also Pilatus, slightly different. Size exclusion chromatography system, temperature attachments, and also optionally high pressure system. And scientific topics, I think we obviously discussed with Professor Szpetsov a few times this, so he will also present the scientific topics from the scene from the Dubna point of view. This is from our users, future users' point of view. So this obviously scientific topics, it is obvious what you can do with the infrastructure I presented. crystallography and objects, protein, peptides, complexes, nucleic acids, protein fibers. This is the biology, but success will allow for studying biological objects, new materials, nanoparticles and nanocomposites, polymers, copolymers, semiconductors, new materials for nanoelectronics, and so on, so on, so on. I think all these subjects or objects are very, let's say, attractive and fashionable, and the world is working on that. Applied science we can do in pharmaceuticals, in research on pharmaceuticals, in material science, XRD. Success and biosuccess, drug carriers, cosmetic industry, materials, fibers, and chemical industry, catalysis, porous material, and so on. As one can see, all these techniques, experimental techniques, provide a broad spectrum of options in research of, let's say, fundamental research, applied research, and in industry. Now, so this was about this diffraction, let's say, to call it briefly, diffraction beamline. Now, we would like to have in this now Solcris laboratory, we would like to have two infrastructure. One, the diffraction beamline, or high energy beamline, and second infrastructure, we are dreaming about cryo TEM microscope. These two, let's say, options using X-rays and using cryo TEM microscope are nowadays almost a must in the modern centers of research. So cryo-TEM, one can find many, many articles about cryo-TEM and how it revolutionized the especially bioscience and the research on biomolecules. And the proof is that the Nature Method of the Year and the inventors of that technique, actually, they got the Nobel Prize for the invention of the cryo-TEM. Let's say here are pictures taken from the Nature magazine. So here is some spectacular graffiti. But here is a comparison between the X-ray crystallography and cryo-electron microscopy. One can see there are two different techniques. Here we have X-rays, here we have electrons, different techniques and so on. But they compete a little bit with themselves, but they are complementary. So if we have if we want to have a full access to instrumentation that allows full characterization and full research on our samples, or complete as much as possible, it would be good to have both infrastructure in the same place. And this is planned Solcris laboratory infrastructure. Okay, I have to skip because I have only 3 minutes. So here are examples of the research. Made with synchrotron radiation, but I am obviously each of these examples would take a separate talk to explain everything, but just included them just to show you the journals the results are presented. So if you just check what are they are very important journals with extremely high impact factors and so on. And also one can see that there are some already Polish scientists involved in that, so I'm happy to present. So from Polish side, we for sure we can provide expertise on the techniques and on that research. Another one in science, here is also Professor Jaskulski and science. So I think this is to show you the weight of the research which can be done on such infrastructure. Here is so this is statistics about the AIDS diagnosis, AIDS deaths, living with HIV infection, living with AIDS diagnosis after the introduction of certain drugs which were developed due to the available of techniques. So one can see how it dropped after this period of development of new. So here is yet another example of monitoring the development of nanomaterials in real time. So here is how it is done. So that was the illustration. Here are the data. Here is more data in BioSaxon and protein crystallography. And this is how important are these data. Now I am, I think, finishing. Maybe I am in time. So here is our vision after in 4 years' time, if we agree. So we will have all these, hopefully all the plant beamlines and the MX BioSax PD beamline will be constructed. And through that beamline, all members of Joint Institute of Nuclear Research will have access to this beamline. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much, Marek. I suggest, unless anybody wants to change this, that we continue now with the second lecture by Valery Shvetsov. Then we'll have a discussion. Is that okay? Okay. Valery, please.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, dear ladies and gentlemen. It's my turn to present our view on this joint project, which Marek rightly explained just now. I made my task easier because he have demonstrated a lot of scientific cases which could be studied by X-rays, and namely that was the part of my presentation. So I really will demonstrate you some some examples when neutrons and X-rays are used to study one and the same object, and how these two methods are complementing each other and enhancing each other. Just to remind you, what is the difference between neutrons and X-rays? They are listed here. Of course, the X-ray sources, synchrotron sources, the brightness and the flux density of the photons on these sources will never be reached by neutron facilities, we understand this, but still some properties of the neutron give an advantage in some kind of the research. And if you will look into the scientific papers on condensed matter physics from any area, almost every scientific research is using the synchrotron radiation first to study the structure of the material, to study some general features, but in many cases people need later to use the neutrons. And a lot of scientific papers dedicated and even conferences. Here you see the title page of the conference from 1998 dedicated to namely this topic which we are discussing right now. And some scientific papers, including one of them written by our colleagues from our laboratory, Belushkin, Kozlenko, and Rogachev in 2011. It's one of the latest papers published on this subject, and I use this paper as a guideline for my talk today. I took just few techniques which are used both by X-ray diffraction and neutron scattering. I will give examples only from three techniques from, I would say, tens of different techniques which are existing right now, just to demonstrate how this synergy could be obtained. This is one of the examples of the experiment where time resolution was as short as several hundred milliseconds. With such a time scale, people can observe the reversible gas uptake from non-porous crystalline solid material. This material is written here is a free chlorpyridine. And this is a crystal material, and the chlorate acid gas was extracted from this material and absorbed back in time. And due to that fact, the color of the material was changing, like is shown here. And the diffraction spectra obtained demonstrate this process of gas uptake and absorption. Another example from the neutron scattering research. This is an example how the neutron imaging technique, could be applied for looking inside the materials, which and when other methods cannot be applied. This is an application of the neutron imaging technique, moreover, energy resolved neutron imaging technique, to the crystal growth. Your crystal is growing under high temperatures, sometimes under high pressures, in a closed vessels, and you cannot look inside by any methods, and you cannot control the process of crystal growth. And single crystals are the major components of many technological instruments here. Now the authors are calling this a blind processes. So blind processes where you cannot look inside. And the state-of-art technique uses the microchannel plate imaging neutron detector and collimation system, give you possibility with a 100 micron resolution to look how this crystal is growing in these blind conditions. Of course, the time resolution for majority of the neutron experiments, time resolution of millisecond range in most of the cases is not possible. But already at the bright sources like spallation neutron source at United States, at JPARC, at JSNS in Japan, I'm sure in future for European spallation source, the time range of the neutron real-time experiments will be shortened and will come closer to that one obtained by obtained by the X-ray diffraction. Here, some step aside. Just to demonstrate you the progress of our own neutron imaging and radiography facility at IBER2. After reactor modernization, we have put into operation the first neutron radiography laboratory, and these are first images obtained in the very end of year 2013, in the very beginning of year 2014. You see just a simple flat images. You see these instruments and tools taken from the workshop and measured at this beamline. Now we have very strong cooperation with one of the directions, not the only one. We have many directions, but one of them, which is maybe most bright, which I'm showing you. We have good cooperation with many Russian archaeological and historical institutions. And we have an access to depositories of these museums and institutions. And we are able to take very interesting artifacts for the research. And as an example, this is a research at our neutron radiography facility of this small vial, which was found at from the excavation near the Sochi, when the Olympiad in Sochi was under preparation, a lot of construction work, and many excavations and many archaeological artifacts were found there. And this is very small vial. You see, of only 3 centimeters. This is a scale, 3 centimeters. It's like a vial for perfumes, which our ladies are using now, and the same from the ancient time. And you see some rest of the, we suppose it's a mirror oil inside, And we can look, we are able to do such a bright, nice images, and we can even discover some fine elements of the construction of this wheel, where the areas where it was welded, and the different composition of the gold, and so on. Our next step will be this energy resolved imaging, as was demonstrated in the example from this list of gross materials. Another example, the study of the atomic structure for polycrystalline materials. Marek mentioned that our future laboratory, potential laboratory, could be used to study the biological crystals, protein crystals. In most cases, you need the single crystal to do that. But the high intensity and extraordinary energy resolution of X-ray diffraction in some cases give the possibility to reveal the atomic structure even in case of polycrystalline materials. And as an example of synthesis and crystal structure of this composition is a solid solution of two materials. Both of them are potentially interesting for hydrogen storage. And unfortunately, as is written here, recrystallization of the compounds was attempted from a number of different solvents, but unfortunately proved to be similar. This material proved to be similar to that one, and its lack of solubility in common solvents. And the crystal structure is a polycrystal. Nevertheless, the X-ray diffraction revealed this atomic structure, and this cubic structure was reconstructed. But you see a lot of hydrogen and lithium atoms are inside. X-rays are less sensitive to these light atoms, and they are given the coordinates, the positions of the atoms in the crystal with some uncertainty, big uncertainty. And you need the neutron scattering data, as is shown here in this article, it was published. And namely, this neutron scattering data clarifies and clarifies the positions of the hydrogen and lithium atoms in this crystal, and X-ray diffraction extremely powerful. It gives you a possibility to measure even such a complicated structure. You see, this is some zeolite and powder which is used for gas absorption, and very complicated structure. Very complicated structure, and it was revealed by the X-rays. And again, another example of this complex cobalt oxide. And again, the comparison of the result of processing gives a considerable difference of the oxygen coordinates determined from the synchrotron diffraction. Also, this happens when you have strong chemical bonds in your material. If the chemical bonds are very strong, X-ray smooth diffraction gives you the electron coordinates, because it interacts with electrons, and it gives you the electron clouds concentration, not the real position of the nuclei and of the atoms. In these cases, you have to apply the neutron scattering methods. And the last methods which I would like to demonstrate is small angle scattering of the X-rays and neutrons. And of course, with this, just to remind you that with the small angle scattering in different range of transferred momenta, you can look onto the shape, into overall shape of the object which you are studying, or to look onto internal structure like a texture, for example. Or you can look even into the atomic structure, but it's very difficult to go so far to this transfer range. But with X-rays, you can do that. And this is an example of how the pictures looks in case of small angle scattering of neutrons, this curve, and small angle scattering of X-rays. Much more details you have. The samples are the tracking membranes which were manufactured here in Dubna by irradiation of the plastic foil at one of the cyclotrons at FluoroFlab. And the final scientific example which I would like to demonstrate is the work of our people in cooperation with other scientific centers. You see the Frank Laboratory of Neutron Physics from the Joint Institute, Faculty of Physics, Adam Mickiewicz University, and Photon Sciences, Deutsche Elektronen Synchrotron from Harburg in Germany. Complex work where X-ray studies, X-ray studies at synchrotron, ESRF synchrotron, neutron scattering research done at our laboratory, and numerical simulation and modeling computational have been applied to this material. And one new phenomena was discovered, new sort of magnetic ordering in this material have been found due to this research. This is an example of X-ray spectra obtained at different pressures. From the very beginning, I didn't mention when I show the properties. Due to the fact that intensity of X-rays are much higher, you can use much smaller samples in order to obtain necessary statistics. And with these smaller samples, you can apply higher pressures if you need the high pressure studies. And the pressure for X-ray scatterings raises up to 100 to 200 gigapascal. For neutron scattering, it's below 100. In our laboratory, and I will demonstrate in the next slide, we now have possibility to do neutron scattering experiments in the range up to 50 gigapascal. But neutron has, you know, magnetic momentum. And what X-rays do not reveal on the X-rays, on the neutron spectra, you see at high pressure and at low temperatures, you see the new antiferromagnetic phase appears in this material, and only due to neutron scattering this antiferromagnetic phase could be revealed and recognized. And authors after explaining this new type of magnetic ordering in this material, and the whole work becomes more completed and very bright. Again, some step aside. During the last years, we were able, and here I would like to thank our directorate for providing us guarantees and necessary money in the budget of the laboratory to improve our instruments. And this is maybe one of the first examples when one of our instruments become really world-level instruments with the parameters which are similar to the diffractometer at spallation neutron source at the United States. We improved the neutron guide system with a focusing insert. We increased the intensity almost one order of magnitude. We are used new type of Z detectors, and compared to the previous instrument operated at other neutron beam, we got the gain almost 1.5 orders, 35 times better intensity. And namely, this instrument is dedicated for high pressure research, and you see the pressure range up to 50 gigapascal, as I mentioned already. So we really do need, scientists from the condensed mirror department of our laboratory, we do need the synchrotrons for our research. In the year 2017, we spent almost 230 man days, mostly at ESRF, but also about 10, maybe 15 visits to Spring 8, because not all our requests for the beam time at ESRF were fulfilled. And we were forced to go to Japan and to pay money for this trip. For ESRF, it's much easier because Russia is a member of ESRF. And in case of this new laboratory will be established, in our primary negotiations with our colleagues from Jagiellonian University, the beam time on this two beam lines, which were explained by Marek in the previous talk, we will have 50%. All scientists, as mentioned Marek, from the GNR member states, which are working in the field of condensed matter, we will have 50% of the beam time on these facilities. And from our point of view, both in the laboratory and from the point of view of our colleagues from Jagiellonian University, this brings us very good synergy between our research with the neutron scattering here at IBR2 and X-ray scattering at Solaris in Krakow. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Valerie. Thank you, Marek. We now have, I was told that Professor Nagy is attending. I think we can even see him there. Hello. We would like to ask Professor Nagy for his comments before we start a general discussion. So, Professor Nagy, would you kindly offer your comments now? We should have him on the screen here. Okay? Please.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello. Yes, we can hear you, indeed.
Yeah, okay. So, good morning or good afternoon, everybody. Sorry for not having been able to participate. My comment at this stage is more or less just a complexity to this excellent idea. I think this is really a step forward. And what I would like to emphasize, not only the complementary synergy of X-ray and neutron methods, but also probably the user for it can be thinker. Professor Stankiewicz mentioned the example of Cherry-Cherry, which is working really very well. And the idea of Cherry-Cherry is, among others, to grant access, a preferential access to users who use more facilities. So I can imagine that the starting project probably a special kind of call for common use of IBS and the Polaris could be announced. Maybe even including other INR. Professor Plato mentioned that some towns were prepared at the Bureau of Laboratory. So why not include it? Okay, so I wouldn't like to waste time right now. Congratulate once again, and maybe I will have some further comments for each.
Thank you very much, and I hope that you can continue watching us at this session. Is that correct? Not really. It looks like we have lost contact. Okay, I will now introduce. Let us start a general discussion. We are running a little bit short in time, but because we want to hear the presentation on the laboratory information technologies before lunch, so I'm now asking for comments on the two lectures. Please, you start.
So I'd just like to say three things. First. Valerie, I'd like to congratulate you and your team actually on really outstanding world-class work at IBR2. I've been away for too long, for 2 or 3 years, and I've come back and there's been tremendous progress. Your example of the high-pressure research at the end is absolutely fantastic. Secondly, I would also strongly endorse, I'm sorry about the microphone, the concept of complementarity. So I sit on a campus where we have neutron and X-ray sources. We see 10 or 20% at least of proposals that use both facilities, particularly in the area of energy research, where the probe is absolutely complementary, looking at light atoms. And that work that you cited of Phil Chater's, I think it was neutron data, that has now been hugely enhanced by X-ray work. So I see this as an increasing trend. And on the subject of complementarity, I would also strongly endorse what Marek said about cryo-TEM. Increasingly, these instruments are being co-located with synchrotrons precisely because they provide crucial complementary work. And this is an increasing trend, putting cryo-TEM with synchrotrons. The third and final thing, increasingly people are accessing facilities remotely. Half my users don't appear. They send their samples remotely. However, I think it's crucial that you have people co-located. So the idea of building a lab where real people work alongside, you know, neutron scatterers work alongside X-ray scientists is crucial, because it allows you to exploit the beam lines so much more completely by building up complementary equipment. You cited pressure, but in chemical processing, in chemistry in the beam. So I think there's a great idea actually to put real scientists alongside beam lines in the laboratory in Poland to make the beam lines there deliver much stronger science.
Okay, let me also thanks to both speakers for a nice and convincing presentation, and congratulations to Polish colleagues in achievement such a facility, in building such a facility in Poland. But regarding the synchrotron colleagues, I have one question. Do you plan also some your own detector development program just to utilize fully potential of the synchrotron to achieve resolution on the level of nanometers or even micrometers or even nanometers? Thank you.
Will you answer that question right away?
I think Marek could answer.
Okay, at the moment we don't have in-house expertise regarding the regarding detectors.
Yes.
However,
my short comments of to presentation, Professor Stankiewicz. At first, my congratulations, very good presentation. I remember first discussion about Solaris maybe 10 years ago in Dubna with, I forgot name, colleagues from Poland. Yes, we discussed this project, yes. Very good project and good realization for short time, very good parameters, and good future plan, installation of superconducted wigglers. Because VUV and soft X-ray is interesting, but much more users like use X-ray. And 7 Tesla wiggler for 1.5 GV storage reading installed in Louisiana State University. Budker Institute of Nuclear Physics produced this wiggler many years ago. Very good operation. And Budker Institute produced many superconducted wiggler, including Professor Harrison on Diamond 203 wiggler. Yes. And I would like invite you in Budker Institute of Nuclear Physics, and maybe we discuss possibility very quickly produce highest level of superconducted wiggler. Thanks.
Thank you.
I'm trying to keep control over this. We had Michel Spiro earlier. Then we'll have you.
Okay. So I understand very well the scientific case and the complementarity. Nevertheless, I want to bring your attention on the fact that establishing a JINR international laboratory with equipment around a national member machine is an unusual concept, and I don't see an example elsewhere. So my recommendation is just that it's worth investigating all the implications, including legal aspects.
Want to answer that quickly? Okay, let's then have Professor Surya. Professor Rabinovich, excuse me.
Okay, I would like to join what Michel said, and I also would like just to ask, how much is your annual budget?
$20 million. And about 45% for research. So research money is around $8.5 million.
Okay, further comments now. Yeah, okay, please. And then okay.
I have a simple question. What is our mission here?
we have heard these proposals. What do we have to do? What's our position? What we as a scientific council are assumed to do here in this case?
We have prepared some draft of the recommendations. So if you agree with this recommendation, in your materials there are drafts of the recommendations. Authors normally preparing these drafts. If you agree with these recommendations, we would like to hear recommendations from the Scientific Council and your opinion, whether it's useful, whether it's activity which you are supporting or not. We are looking for support.
Let me just comment. I understand that the mission of the main mission of the neutron laboratory does not change. It's the complementarity which we are after. But now I'll ask you for a comment.
I think we should take more closer look at materials that, I mean, it's very hard to endorse or not endorse this proposal right away. I mean, it's really something that you can't do immediately.
Thank you. Please.
About the Solaris project. I think this is a very nice large-scale facility in Poland, which is being implemented. And also I want to support the fact that there is a plan for phase two to increase potential access to new beamline and physics. But I think I miss the point, what is the status today? Because, okay, it is commissioning, and there is two existing line, experimental line, which are under, I didn't understand if it is really still commissioning or if they have started with user doing experiment. I think it's important to know what is exactly the status.
As Marek told, two beam lines existing, two under construction, and this is a beam line which is under consideration. We are talking about the beam line which is under consideration.
No, I understand that very well, but today, is the existing beam line have users and experiment going on or still commissioning? I don't understand that. I mean, I would like to know if possible.
Okay. The floor goes now to Stankiewicz, who...
Yes, I was called, I think, to the table. So I think I explained it by maybe I was operating in a reduced time frame. So I was talking very fast, so maybe. We are opening call in April for these two beamlines.
This April.
Synchrotron is operating very well. Beamlines are still... under, let's say, fine-tuning, let's put it this way, but this is ARPES beamline and this PIM beamline, PIM XAS beamline. So these two will operate from autumn. Now, we have funds for two more beamlines, so they are being constructed. We applied for three more beamlines. We have very good prospect for two projects, one with German colleagues, and they have money already, so we are just sorting out the details. So in a short time, I mean short time, for building a beamline takes 2 to 3 years, so we should have, let's say, 6-7 beamlines working. Now, if I may continue, the because I would like also to address one question, the doubts about this international laboratory in Solaris. We have, I think, I know the many examples of having, let's say, of setting up a beamline at the synchrotron facility, which is from abroad. Like Swedish MaxLab is a really Scandinavian facility. They call themselves very often Scandinavian, so they are beamlines from Finland, from Estonia, from Danish colleagues. And we also, as I said, we want to have international beam lines, and we will be happy to operate it. These are technical details about the access, but if we allocate certain amount of percentage to Dubna community, this will be probably up to Dubna, I mean, this is how I see it, to select the people, select the applications, and we will be just providing service for people from the Joint Institute coming to Kraków. So frankly, I don't see dangers in such a scenario.
Can we have a comment from our director on this issue? Okay. Please. Now we have. Are you there? Microphone.
Thank you. Thank you. I would like to express my gratitude to both presentations, because I think that it was excellently said what is the situation, the art of SARS in Krakow, and what is the ideas for the complementarity of both the technologies. I think that it was perfectly identified by you, and that means the main difference between the neutrons as a strong interaction with a nucleon and the X-rays for the atoms gives the complementarity for that, because one technology which is sensitive for some answers for some questions is completely not selective for another one. And I think that the main question is the staff and the people which are working here. It was perfectly said by a colleague before. I think that if you are collaborating together, you can mix together the staff, and you will be stronger for both sides, from one end to another. That means it is not only the staff for the reactor here or the staff for the synchrotron there, because yes, it was assumed together. And I think that as strongly you will collaborate, as strong it will be complementary, and not only competing, because competition is needed as well, but mostly I think that it is necessary to be in complementarity. But my question is not so important, but nevertheless, there are two strong infrastructures under construction in the Europe. One, it is the European Spallation Source as a neutron source, which is competing with IBR or another neutron sources for such properties. And another, it is the extreme light infrastructures, which is the Romanian, Hungarian, and Czech centers of strong or to find the, thank you, to find the your position with in relation to these new centers.
With ESS, we are cooperating already. We had several visits, both from ESS to here and from us to ESS. And we are participating in some research within the ESS project dedicated to detectors and to novel type of the detectors and to moderators. We didn't formalize this relationship, so we didn't the part, we are not still the part of some consortium, official consortium, but we are on the way to this subject. With ELI, we are slightly far from the direction, scientific directions of the ELI project. We are informed about this project, we know the information, but as I know, in our laboratory, I don't have some scientists or groups which are interested in using the ELI.
I'm sorry to ask the stupid questions as usual. What is the, to Victor actually, what is the organizational idea? Is it a collaboration, a cooperation, or are you owners of the Polish facility, or are you owners of international facility? I didn't get it. And you know that I'm, Boris, don't laugh. I'm a burnt child of these complicated legal questions between the Helmholtz Center on one side and the international facility of the other side. And I was discussing this just this morning, the question of whether there should be international Helmholtz branch, which takes over EXFEL and FAIR and LI problems and so on. So what is the idea? Because you are not a national institution. In FAIR, we only have national partners, and it's a multinational and not EU, multinational thing dominated by Russians, Indians, and Germans. And I'm sorry to say, a little bit also by France. So how is this going to be organized? Are you going to be owners, or is it a collaboration? Like with CERN, you have a good working collaboration with CERN, thousands of scientists sitting in CERN. How will it be in Poland?
You're asking us complicated questions.
Of course, so, of course.
Well, I may say that, in fact, GNR Directorate rather positively considers this idea. We heard for, let's say, 1.5 years how our physicists are discussing how it would be great to have possibility, especially when we are realizing users program in laboratory of neutron physics. So to have possibility to combine studies using not just neutron beams, but also synchrotron emissions. So, and of course, idea which were produced in cooperation between our physicists and our colleagues in Poland, so was that it could be some sort of a realization that, in fact, it was assumed that building this beam line, so it would be, in fact, property and facility of international institute open for usage of all member states and of the world, let's say. If, so it's open for everybody. So it's not just at least few years after construction, after building that, so it will be property of international institute with all the rules of openness for the international cooperation, international usage. So.
But when I understand this correctly, you mean you are not owning the synchrotron, you are owning the beamline.
Exactly, exactly, of course.
I think this is very wise.
Okay, now urgent questions, because we are, okay, please. And then hopefully final, because we have to have, there's another presentation.
Okay, personally myself, I can see as an example, for example, a European Molecular Laboratory, which has the branch in Grenoble, where is ASRF and the reactor of ILL. This is one of example of such a possible cooperation or collaboration or establishing of common facility, etc. This is my opinion that it could be something like that.
Well, I will try to be very short, and it's regarding to the question Professor Rubakov and Professor Stoker, I think. It's a very important example we have now discussing here, because I think it's first example where we're discussing about some facilities, basic facilities, which will be outside the Dubna, I think. And it also is very important that for all other member states of this institute should finally decide about this, and the final decision will be given on the potential committee. But I think the idea is that the first time we are trying to use some facilities, which is really is a national facility, but on other side, it's, as we know, the main purposes of our institute is they should be in coherence with all other stuff which concerning about financial and also some sharing of the with this facilities. We should discuss further, but I think the general idea is that to do this. I think it's very, very brilliant, and we should think about this. Yes, I think the Scientific Council should support really this general idea. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. I would I would just please. This will be the last chance.
having my chance as a speaker, yeah. I would like to reply to this final remark from Arsene. It's not the first example. We have a gigaton volume detector in Baikal Lake. Russia is one of the member countries. We have a lot of neutrino experiments.
This is Russia.
Situated.
This is Russia. I'm not talking.
We have
talking
a lot of neutrino experiments buried underground in Alps. And we are paying a lot of money to these underground experiments. It's not the first example. We have an example of such a cooperation in other fields. It seems to me very similar to what we are planning to do.
Okay, just very short, because we are running back.
I think there is a big difference with what you mentioned, because both facilities are user-oriented. You and Polish colleagues are not really the main players in scientific terms. So both facilities are for users, not for Dubno or for Krakow, right? So this is a big difference. And I don't really understand why these two facilities cannot coexist without, you know, penetrating to each other. I don't see the case for that.
I can answer. In case of IBR2, I'm not touching the synchrotron. I don't know, especially because it's only starting. But at IBR2, we are not pure user facility like ILL, for example. We are not just providing the beam lines, and we do not have any touching some science inside. During the many years of operation of user program, the majority of our users are our co-authors. We have joint projects. We are just providing access on this user basis. So it's user policy indeed. But now it's something more than that. That's why we have scientists in the lab which are doing science by themselves. And they are also applying for the beam time as the users. We have our internal users. They also have to send applications to get the beam time to make a competition.
Thank you. I would like to conclude this discussion by reminding our committee that this is a scientific committee, so we are discussing and judging the scientific merit of this proposal. And we have next to deal with the hard money issues, which is more related to the CAPEPE than to our committee. So I understand that we are to reach a conclusion on the scientific merits of this proposal. And with that comment, I would like now to ask Vladimir Koryenkov, and I apologize for giving you short time, but we will be cutting into our lunch break, which is still within reach because we are to return at 14:30. So please now give us a discussion talk on the future developments of the information technologies laboratory. So, Koryenkov, the floor is yours.
Dear members of Scientific Council, dear colleagues, I would like to present the main results and plans of lead development for next 5 years. Excuse me. First of all, I want to show main trends in the development of information technology in this century, from grid and cloud computing to big data analytics, heterogeneous computing, high energy and nuclear physics play an important role in the development of IT, because the demand of experiment stimulate intensive IT development. Our laboratory is actively involved in the development of IT and introduced of best solution, technology, software at GINAR. we can see main direction of 7 years plan of development joint laboratory information technology. The first development of GINAR multifunctional information computer complex, development of global distributed research environment, development of cloud infrastructure, member state of Joint Institute for Nuclear Research, development of new parallel application, cross platforms and multi-algorithm software in heterogeneous computing environment, development of general corporative information system, development of trading of IT experts. Our laboratory participating in 47 activities and project of 27 topics of the topical plan of Joint Institute for Nuclear Research. We can see project all laboratory of Joint Institute for Nuclear Research in which participated our teams. Objectivities and structure of laboratory information technology can be displayed in multi-level system of IT services. The first level network, telecommunication channel, support of local area network and other network services, information security, primary services, accountant management, certificate authorities, and so on. Collaboration services, Edurom, Indigo, video conference, and project management, document servers. Next level, database services and management of administrative and administrative support of GINAR activities, one CRP, electronic document handling, Dubna, and so on, and development of computer science and physical computing. We participate in development of grid, cloud, HPC computing, and apply software for experimental in Joint Institute for Nuclear Research, big data analytics, and the core of IT infrastructure of Joint Institute for Nuclear Research is a multifunctional information computing complex. We can see main component of FIS complex, Tier 1 center for CMS experiment, cloud infrastructure not only in the Joint Institute for Nuclear Research, but integrated cloud infrastructure of member states of Joint Institute for Nuclear Research. Development of a hybrid heterogeneous complex for parallel and hybrid calculation and tier 2 complex. For modern IT infrastructure, it is necessary to create a reliable engineering infrastructure which must provide basic services. We can see set and component engineering infrastructure. In the last year, we realized a few a project in the modernization engineering infrastructure. The main result of development of engineered infrastructure, installation of two new transformers by 2.5 megawatt, new cooling system for Tier 1 complex, new water cooling system for supercomputer, development of project power supply using diesel generators. Next basic IT infrastructure is high-speed networks and telecommunication environment, which provide a wide range of network services and information security. We can see our status and our plans. Now we have a local area network on base 10 gigabit per second, and in this year we plan to upgrade our local area network to 100 gigabit per second. We also development our wide area networks. Last year we organized one channel of 100 gigabit per second, and this year we plan to organize two channels by 100 gigabit per second. Multifunctional information and information and computing complex provide grid, cloud, and HPC resources needed for many projects: MPD, BN10, CMS, Atlas, Alice, LHCb, Compass, DIRC, Nova, Best3, Opera, Panda, Star, NEMA, Nucleon, and other experiment. We can see statistics of using our resources. Tier 1 center for CMS. We can see all Tier 1 center supported CMS. The first FNAL for 41% for all processed events. Second, Tier 1 center of Joint Institute for Nuclear Research, more than 14% for all events. We can see support virtual organization in the world, and experiment from Joint Institute for Nuclear Research. Next, our project development of Gener cloud infrastructure. One of important trends of cloud technology is development of method of integration cloud infrastructure. Our team realized software integration. We can see a scheme of cloud integration, Gener member state of Joint Institute for Nuclear Research. Now we realized a few project together with Institute of Physics in Baku, Bakalyubov Institute for Theoretical Physics in Kyiv, Institute of Nuclear Problem in Minsk. And now we realizing a few project with Bulgaria on base Sofia University and Institute of Nuclear Research and Nuclear Energy. Now we realized a project in Kazakhstan on base Institute of Nuclear Physics and Nazarbayev University. We also discuss this project with other member states of Joint Institute for Nuclear Research. Next, our project is creation Jenner supercomputer. Now we're installing supercomputer for massive parallel calculation. This project very interesting for us, for our laboratory, Bogolyubov laboratory, theoretical physics and other laboratory. Now we installation of this supercomputer. We can see structure of our supercomputer. Our supercomputer consists from two parts. One part CPU components on base Intel processor, Skylake and Kernel. And the second part on base GPU, NVIDIA, NVIDIA, the new NVIDIA processor Volta. It's very interesting supercomputer. In I want you to participate in presentation our supercomputer in birthday of Joint Institute for Nuclear Research. It is necessary to monitor the state of all components of services. From engineering and network infrastructure, hardware, software, user and virtual organization, jobs and services. We can see our control room of multifunctional information computer complex and system. Our system allows to observe in real time of whole computer complex state and send alarm if there are problems. We organized new portal, web portal of multifunctional information computer complex for users. Next direction of our activity, corporative information system. We can see main task of this activity, General 1C platforms, enterprise platform for automation of everyday task of economic and management activity. EVM system for NICA, electronic document handling system, complex on information and analytical system for financial and human management, Jenner document servers, electronic open archive repository of scientific publication documents, Jenner member state access to e-library, PIN, video portal, and all web portals of Joint Institute for Nuclear Research and other. Now we development our electronic document handling system. It's very very important part of optimization of management of Joint Institute for Nuclear Research. computing for MPD BNTM. Our goal integration of computing resources from NICA and multifunctional information computing complex laboratory of information technology for development of computing infrastructure of NICA. We can see a requirement in this project and current development. The first maintenance and development of management system for NICA project, development of local network for NICA project, optimization of distributed data processing system using simulation, software for BMTN GEM tracker based on new methods deep learning. Our hot topics: software for simulation data processing, HPC for theoretical investigation of dense hadronic matters, integrated computing resources for data processing, data storage system, data lakes, concept based on EOS. Next interesting project, Neutrino Project Nova. It's the first Neutrino experiment activity using Jiner Cloud. Now we increase our cloud system for Neutrino Physics. New servers already assembled in lead cloud infrastructure and will be used for simulation analysis data obtained in DIAB in Juno experiment and maybe for Baikal. Very interesting project realization new compass production system. Spokesman of Project Compass asked me to create software for distributed processing and analyzing data for this project. And our team organized new production system. We can see main characteristics and statistics of this project. All management services deployed at Jiner Cloud Services, and now this system is in production. It is a very good experiment for other projects. We're using platform Panda for this project. Platform of Atlas experiment, and this platform very interesting as universal platform for other for big projects. We proposal cloud platform for data of all biological monitoring stage. On base Frank Laboratory of Neutron Physics. It's very interesting project for us. We realized many new methods, mechanism for this project. Now we development new method of machine learning and deep learning. We can see two examples of using machine learning and deep learning for BMTN and for Demon detector in laboratory nuclear research. (Clears throat) Our team participating in development quantum computing, one of task non-classically qubit ensembles, and now we are testing quantum computing, IBM quantum computing, for testing our algorithm. Very important part of our activity, efficient parallelization of complex numerical problems in computation physics. We can see three tasks, and after parallelization, we get very good results, speed up 10 or 20 times. Very important part of our activity using big software packages with graphic user interface support. We create a new service for users with possibility to work via virtual desktops. It will allow using heavy mathematical packages such as Comsol, Multiphysics, MATLAB, Mathematica, Maple, Jan 4, Root, and so on. We can see example using this service for modeling and simulation of magnetic field distributed for design and production of superconductor magnet with COMSOL Multiphysics. Now there are a few big challenges. One challenge and HAP Software Foundation. HAP Software now not adapted to work with new architecture, new methods, and new technology. So it's necessary organized creation of new HAP Software. Now organized HAP Software Foundation, and we discuss about participation in development new HAP Software HAP Software. Next challenge: distributed data storage evolution data lakes. It's a new big challenge. Goal of this program: distributed data storage evolution data lakes, provide of computing infrastructure to be experiment and the community to store analyzed data. It's very important project. Now we discuss with our colleagues from CERN to participate in the realizing prototype data lakes, and begin of realized prototype data lake in Joint Institute for Nuclear Research together with CERN. Our plans. We can see our plan to development multifunctional information and computer infrastructure, all component. It's our plans, and very interesting fact. Our plan to develop a hybrid heterogeneous complex, half of petaflops, but after 1 month, we installed. We will install a supercomputer, 1 petaflops. Before, and very interesting project, data lake. Now we organized a storage for each component, but data lakes data lakes to create one storage, storage for all components, and not only for scientific program of Joint Institute for Nuclear Research and for other distributed computing project. Our strategy of information technology in scientific computing, our goal created unified computing environment, scientific IT ecosystems that combine variety of technological solution, concept, and technology. We can see main parts of our strategy, and more concrete task in different direction: telecommunication technology, computer systems, algorithm software, technology of data processing and analytics, and information security. We organized each 2 years three big conference, traditional conference, one conference distributed computing grid technology in science education, conference mathematical modeling and computing physics, together with our colleagues from Slovakia and Romania, and conference nuclear electronics and computing together with CERN. This conference now 55 years from first conference. We organized together with conference student school on, and we organized many training for students in young people from member states of Joint Institute for Nuclear Research. Short conclusion. Our important project development of multifunctional information computing complex, development of high performance computing center, new architecture and principle of organization of computation, building of general scientific IT ecosystem, distributed heterogeneous grid and cloud technology, development of algorithm and for experimental data processing based on principle advanced machine learning, training of IT expert. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Questions? Please.
Is it possible to enlarge this cloud technology and to be used in the groups from country members, but when they are there, not here, to enlarge this cloud technology, to be more international, yeah.
cloud technology at the main trend of and development of IT technology and integration our resources and support support on our common cloud infrastructure. Many experiment and Joint Institute for Nuclear Research in Member States is very important task for us.
Further questions? I can't see. Any questions? Any hands up? No. Thank you once again, Vladimir, for the lecture. And now an important announcement. First of all, lunch is ready, right? But most important is that all of you return after lunch at 14:30, because we have the election of directors and we need a quorum. So please do not venture elsewhere but back to this room. We're breaking until 14:30.